Good morning. Once again, welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. With the new year, we begin preaching through a new book. Sorry to disappoint the diehard Isaiah fans, but fear not, we will be getting back to the book of Isaiah after a short series through the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul from prison in Rome to encourage, instruct, and correct the church, which he had founded. The founding of that church is recorded in Acts chapter 19. The epistle to the Ephesians contains much Christian doctrinal content, including predestination, redemption by Christ's blood, eternal security, God's grace, the unity of the church body, practical Christian living, biblical separation, marriage and relationships, and spiritual warfare. As is our custom, we shall preach through the divinely inspired letter by examining representative texts, always in context. So our scripture text is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. However, we will begin reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. And this speaks of the church dispensation, the New Testament economy in order. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And here is the verse that we're going to expound upon, verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This morning, we shall consider the essential elements of what Paul calls the gospel of your salvation. This is Christianity 101. We're bringing things back to the basics. And it's always good to do that from time to time. First, with regard to the word of truth leading to trust and belief in faith. And secondly, with regard to the finished work leading to eternal security. The doctrines of God always lead somewhere. They lead to the glory of God the Father through his Son Jesus Christ, through the agency of God the Holy Spirit, and they lead to our salvation our peace and our eternal hope. First, the word of truth. Notice in our text, the 13th verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, that it says, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. They are the same thing. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth is the pure and an unadulterated word of God. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, are available to you in their full measure. You hold them in your hands this morning. They will never, not ever, mislead you. Men and women will preach their own gospels. Some will preach a gospel half of God and half their own. Others half of grace and half of works. Still others entirely of works. Church pulpits in many cases and many places are occupied by entertainers, the cool dudes with the ripped jeans, and storytellers. May it never be so in this place. A good sermon and a good presentation of the gospel is more of God's words and less of our own. After all, this word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. To the degree that the message accords with the word of truth is the degree to which the gospel of your salvation is being preached with perfect accuracy. The gospel of your salvation tells you, first, that salvation is needed, and second, that God has given a true remedy that meets the need. Salvation is needed from what? From sin and its consequences. Maybe you don't think that sin is that big of a deal. Maybe you don't think that when you mess up, it doesn't have a whole lot of effect in the overall scheme of things. But to God, it's an offense. It's a serious offense. It breaks communion and fellowship with your Creator. Has God not commanded, "Be holy, for I am holy"? God commands us to holiness, reverence, and to make that good faith, best faith effort to live up to the standards to which you have been called. Amen. Salvation from sin's consequences is namely this: for the wages of sin is death. Sin is spiritual separation from God. Enter the remedy. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If sin was not serious, if sin did not have such consequences, then God would not have had to send His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the cause for which He came. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The word of truth says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. In believing, the transaction is sealed and eternal life is yours. There is no need to wait for a sacrament. There is no need to wait for some miraculous experience. There is a teaching out there that you have to wait for some vague second blessing, which is experientially understood. In other words, some second blessing which is an emotional or an emotionally driven experience. But I say to you that God offers you two blessings. The first, your physical birth, your life. Secondly, the spiritual birth. What more miraculous experience could there be than a spiritual birth wrought by God? The spiritual birth, we might say, is the second blessing, and indeed, the greater. The finished work. Jesus himself said, as his work on earth was coming to a close, "It is finished." Note the past tense used in the Lord's words. Notice also the past tense used in our text. Consider these very words, the word of truth. "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, having believed, you were sealed." These are not my words, these are the words of the word of God. Now, for the believer, this means that four things are already done, having been God's finished work in you from the hour you first believed. You heard, you believed, you trusted, you were sealed. The Holy Spirit sealed the deal. The believer belongs to God. And who can unseal what God has sealed? God will not unseal you, for it is written that God cannot deny himself. He would be in violation of his own work and promise. So God would violate his perfect attribute of truth if he took your salvation away in any way, shape, or form. The devil cannot unseal you. He doesn't have enough power. His power is limited by God. And God will not give him power to go beyond the limits that have been prescribed and to do things which would violate God's promise. Another person cannot unseal you. People have tried that. Men and women have had their feet held to the stocks. They have been burned at the stake. But there was no success in unsealing the deal which God had sealed with them. At the close of it all, they entered into God's presence. Finally, you cannot unseal yourself. Those who believe that they can undo God's guarantee are filled with false teaching, with pride, or both. The scripture says in the book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, in the 35th verse, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things, We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are, present tense, more than conquerors through Him who loved us from eternity past. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The scripture also says in another place, for by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Through the offering, the sin offering, made with blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, He has perfected in times past, forever, until eternity future, those who are being sanctified now. Those who are being set apart for God's service. Jesus' work for you is finished with regard to what He did to make for your spiritual peace with God. And Jesus' work in you is both finished with regard to the perspective of God outside of time and continues as He molds you to be more and more the child of God that He wants you to be. All of these things are true if you truly believe. If not, you stand outside the circle of God's promises to His people. And it is urgent that you settle the matter today. I pray that someone in this house, or that you and or I come across today, experiences a conversion of the soul and becomes partaker of all of these blessings. Let this be our greatest prayer this morning. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again, born again, spiritual birth, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away." Paul calls it a guarantee. Peter says it doesn't fade away. "Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, all of these things being said, isn't it wonderful that we're kept by the power of God and that we're not kept by the power of ourselves? We'd be done for. And this should give us confidence, security, and peace, knowing that our salvation didn't depend upon us, nor does the maintenance of our salvation depend upon us, nor does the end of our salvation depend upon us. It all depends upon him. And it's a done deal. Now, this is all pretty basic stuff, but there is great import, very great importance, to getting the gospel and getting the gospel right. For in these, you will have great inner joy, great peace, and this will get you through this hard life. And it will also enable you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If the foundation is not built firm, what sort of house will be built? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for every opportunity that you give us to proclaim, to hear, to meditate upon your word, the gospel of our salvation, the word of truth. Lord, that if there have been any misunderstandings this morning, that they've been cleared up through the power and clarity of your objective truth, which you have inspired the very words of to be written in a book, our Bibles. We pray, Lord, that it may be that all among us are partakers of the heavenly promise this morning. But if not, your work of the conversion of the heart, soul, and mind of any unconverted, might be a finished work this morning. Lord, that we might take these things and this consideration of the gospel and go out there today and use it. Lord, give us opportunities to speak your word to the people in our homes, the people that we meet, the people that we talk to on the telephone or correspond with electronically. Lord, give us the opportunity and give us the right heart, motivation, and discernment to recognize to walk through that door. Lord, that it may be that if it be not all, that at least one of us may see this miracle today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.